Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com if you like a determiner. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video. Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg sang the song with his wife, Sarah. He composed it, and he will sing his version of the Mexican hat dance at the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening to the Dork Forest. Here's a scoop. I'm doing stand-up online. A lot of Zoom shows will eventually go back on the road. Sign up for my email list. It's easy to get off. It's harder to get on than it is to get off. And no harm, no foul, if ever bored. JackieCation.com. Sign up for the email list. You'll find out about my weekly Zoom shows and stand up on the road eventually. You may donate to the show if you would like. I would like. Sure, I would. There's PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and there is a PayPal button on both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, and there's Venmo if you like Venmo, Jackie-Cation, oddly enough. If you have listened to all of the shows, go to dorkforest.bandcamp.com, I think. The Dork Forest has a Bandcamp page. You can listen to a lot of ones that are free from pre-2009 when I started pre-recording. And then there's live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some stand-up. There's a story album that's very exciting there. And other than that, I have a lot of merch in my garage. Feel free to order if you know anybody who doesn't have any CDs or the DVD. And you can follow me everywhere at Jackie Cation. Let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation. I am in a hotel room in Las Vegas, Nevada. That is a picture of a trombone player over there. And I have with me someone who enjoys music. So it's going to be a musical episode of the Dork Forest, which is always a minefield for me because I don't know anything. But welcome to the program, Nelsy Spencer. I was on your podcast, and then I was like, do you want to be on my podcast? And so here we are.
You were on my podcast, and I was just re-listening to the interview, the episode with you, because first of all, I loved it. And second of all, I'm like grabbing nice little snippets of it because I want to send you some because they're
TikTok and
Instagram and all that stuff. And
super fun. So it's called Losing It, and it's at Losing It Pod for all the Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook needs. But if you go to Nelsy Spencer, N-E-L-S-I-E Spencer, spelled like Spencer.com, is everything linkable? Like What If Nothing's Wrong podcast, your other podcast, is that one linked?
That's not linked there yet.
Okay.
So you have to go to What If Nothing's Wrong Pod on all the socials to find us. And that includes YouTube because both of our podcasts are also video.
Now we're video because of pandemic and Zoom. And it's just nice to see people.
And because I have a producer who's a millennial and he was like, oh, you need a YouTube channel. And I'm like, OK, so good luck. Good luck to you, son. And you do that. And I'm over here.
I'm just going to talk into the thing and then you can do whatever you want. So
exactly.
That's outstanding.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, so those are and then you have there's a therapist Twitter that you have a professional therapist that if you tweeted them.
Well, here's the thing.
What is that?
Here's the thing. During the pandemic, my producer and I thought, well, you know what? Well, what actually happened is my friend Heidi Haddad, who's a therapist, who's also a client of mine because I'm a writing teacher and she's writing this fantastic novel. She's a therapist and she started tweeting saying, you know, ask me anything.
Okay.
And I'm a therapist. The times are tough. I'm here. And she started doing that every Thursday and people were shockingly. Yeah, they were really psyched. And so she went from having like 3 followers on Twitter to having many, many more. Good. And she started doing it every Thursday. And I was like, I was like, I think it might be a podcast, but then you can say that about everything. Am I right?
Right. Are we talking? Is it real? Are we having a real conversation if we're not actually recording it? Yes, it is. You're doing great, everybody.
So we started having it be like a little addendum to Losing It on Thursdays, and we called it Therapy Thursday. And then we realized that it kind of needed its own thing, and it kind of became, it just blossomed. And the funny thing is, it's me, a woman of a certain age from, I'm a baby boomer. So that tells you how old I am. I'm at the young end of baby boomer, but I'm old.
There's nothing to be done about it, Nelsie. Just own it. You look great. And, I don't know what your partnership situation is, or I can't wait. I can't wait to be able to go, no, I don't want to have sex. You can't make me. Right now I occasionally want to, and then I have to figure out if the fella sitting next to me wants to. So
I'm very lucky because I have a husband who I've been with for a very long time, and he looks at me and he still sees me like the 28-year-old me.
Yeah.
And he has the libido of a 16-year-old boy. So,
doing fine. So you don't. Fine. Yeah. So yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. You. So you're getting some. I'm getting some, but I don't know.
So the next thing I know, it's me and Ronnie, who's a millennial. He's a Filipino American millennial boy, and Heidi, who's, I think she's a Gen Xer therapist. So it's this very weird sort of grouping, but
it's a nice perspective from different age groups is what you're saying.
It's so much fun. Yeah. Yes, it really is. It really is. So it's really fun, and it's funny, and also sometimes quite serious and hopefully
powerful. You guys.
Oh my God. It. We're so powerful.
It's
so powerful.
They drop some knowledge, and it's at Heidi L. Haddad, Haddad. So it'll all be in the notes, you guys, but losing it. What if nothing's Heidi's wrong? Heidi
does her live thing Thursday nights. She does the live tweet thing. And I do want to say that Ronnie Whaley is my producer because he's a superstar. And, seriously, I would just be sitting alone talking to myself if it weren't for him. So,
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
He makes the magic.
Shout out to Patrick Brady. I should have muted myself, but I didn't. See, he could probably fix that if I gave him time code. Man's got a life to lead, Patrick Brady. I love him dearly. I live every January in fear that he's going to be like, yeah, we're having kids now. So
I got to move on, Jackie. I got other shit to do. I'm procreating.
So, but you want to do music, which I think is interesting because Andy really likes 1970s funk as well. My husband, but I don't know when it comes on. I'm always like, this is one of those songs, right? And he's like, yes, it is. And and then I learned some.
Yeah. Well, since I've been listening to the Dork Forest.
Oh, she muted it. Good call.
Yeah, I know. So professional. I am aware of your being slightly challenged in the music department, which I find very entertaining.
It's a great drinking game if you still drink, people.
So I think we should establish a baseline of what you know and what you don't.
Well, yeah, start out with sort of your basic, what's the basic things that you like, and I'll let you know what it is.
Let's start with Aretha Franklin.
Okay. She has a biopic coming out called Respect. And I have heard that song and probably several others. Is that soul? I believe that, or is that R&B?
That's soul. Look, I'm just a white girl from the suburbs, and I don't know if I can give you the correct, what's the difference between soul and R&B. I kind of know the difference between soul and R&B and funk, because funk has a certain baseline. It's a little more like Ohio Players, and I would say Sly and the Family Stone, and that's a little more funk, right? Mm-hmm. And Funkadelic, of course, is funk. So I can't be specific about that, but yes, Aretha Franklin, there's a biopic coming out, and she was the Queen of Soul.
Okay.
That was her title.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Queendom being mentioned. And she's got pipes that never end, right?
She's got pipes that never end. She started singing in the church. She,
I just learned that Stevie Wonder just started singing in the church.
Did you listen to that episode? Right. And I feel like she and I could really chat because I did get to see Stevie Wonder live in his prime.
Ooh.
Yeah. Saw him live in his prime at, get this, just to date myself and to let you know what a radical kid I was, to a fundraiser for Angela Davis. Young people, look it up.
Yep.
Because she was on
trial. I
know
who Angela Davis is.
There you go. And so there was a fundraiser for her, and my brother and I went and saw, and I mean, I remember Stevie Wonder was there. I don't remember who else was there, but Stevie Wonder was the highlight of the performers. So you know who Stevie Wonder is.
Right. And you know, what was the venue that you saw this concert?
It was like at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion or something like that. It was a fancy.
In Los Angeles? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I grew up in Los Angeles in the South Bay.
Oh, interesting.
South of Torrance, right? Torrance runs right into Palos Verdes Peninsula. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And I was lucky that I had two big brothers who both loved music. And so I got a lot of, you know, influences from them. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I were both really into R&B and soul. And we listened to, or not only did we listen to Aretha Franklin, but we saw her live
several times. Oh my gosh.
Yes. We saw her live at the Hollywood Bowl, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. We saw her live at a venue that I don't think is there anymore called the Now Grove. That's like used to be in downtown LA, I think.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. My brother and I, he would get tickets to, let's say, see Aretha Franklin at the Now Grove, right? And we'd go there. And the Now Grove was like a nightclub, right? So you'd go there and you'd pull up and a valet would park your car.
Right.
Now, the car that my brother and I were driving was, we would start it with a screwdriver because we'd lost the keys. And
okay, I need to know what year car this was. What car was it?
Well, it was a Cortina, which is a car that most people never heard about.
Nope. Oh, the Cortina. Oh, of course. The famous Cortina. Who made the Cortina?
The Cortina was a Ford that was made in England that for some unknown reason, my father thought that should be the car we should have.
Wow. All right.
Now, my father also, when we were really little, had a Citroen, which, you know, is a French car. It's a very sexy car.
Oh.
There, no one else in our neighborhood had a French Citroen. So my dad was always a little bit.
He was a car guy, is what I'm hearing.
He just made unconventional choices, right?
Sure.
Right. If the neighbor had a station wagon, we're going to have a French Citroen, you know?
Is this a Cortina?
Oh.
Is that what you were driving?
Cortina. Well, fortunately, we had a slightly newer model. But by the time, like my dad, a little bit newer, but not that much newer. Yes.
Okay.
And by the time we probably only had it for a year and we'd already trashed it, right?
Sure. We were children.
We had lost the keys. My brother, when he locked the keys in the car at one point, do you remember the wing windows, Jackie, that you could,
or you'd pop them.
Yeah,
for the back seat. They were completely useless.
Completely useless.
Because especially if your parents chain smoked like mine did, and you would just sort of stick your mouth right by it and try to suck air into the car, into the vehicle from those tiny triangle pop windows.
Yeah. Well, the Cortina had two in the front as well.
Oh.
And when the keys got locked in the right, my brother kicked in the wing window and
so he could
to
reach.
Get the keys out.
Sure. Yeah.
So by the time we went to see Aretha Franklin at the Now Grove.
to meet the valet guy who was to be impressed.
Right. And instead of us handing him the keys, we handed him
a screwdriver. How did he take that?
He looked at the screwdriver, looked at us. I mean, I think I was 15. Cardi was probably 16 or 17. We were these little white kids who should not have been out on their own, surrounded by wealthy African Americans that were on their way to see Aretha Franklin. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? We just don't fit. Why are we here?
Right.
But we still got to go in, and we saw Aretha Franklin, and she sang. She opened with "Rock Steady." I still remember, which was a hit, I think, in the 70s. I won't try to sing it because I can't be Aretha Franklin, but it's a fabulous song. It's probably one of her biggest hits from like late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
So I'm letting you know a little bit who Aretha Franklin is and why she was so fabulous, because she had those pipes.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
She started out singing in the church. Respect is one of her big hits. The House That Jack Built, if you've never heard that, I know you're going to ask for a playlist.
I wouldn't mind.
I'm going to put, and I don't know if I can call it down to eight. I will try.
You have to, because I can't listen. It all, Marie Valeriano, famously did an episode of The Dork Forest and gave me a USB stick with 102 songs on it. He did an episode of The Dork Forest about the band U2, and it had over 100 songs on it. And I said to him, you've given me a free USB stick because I will not be listening to this. So try to pick eight. Why not?
I'm going to try to pick eight.
Yeah.
Okay. So The House That Jack Built is another one of her famous ones from mid to late 60s. So you got Respect. You got The House That Jack Built. Then, do you know who Simon and Garfunkel are?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember their song "Bridge Over Troubled Water"?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
It was nominated for a Grammy.
Okay.
And Aretha Franklin sang it on the Grammys.
Oh wow!
And if you've never heard her version of "Bridge Over Troubled Water," I will put it. I will be on the playlist.
Yeah.
It is transformational. She plays it on the Grammys sitting at the piano. I think that she's wearing like something really African looking, like a headdress thing. And,
she did a flowing dress thing that was outstanding. She always, was often prints, bright color. And it was gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's wearing sort of an African print thing. She's sitting at the piano. It's just her and the piano singing "Bridge Over Troubled Water."
Oh, weird. So she accompanied herself.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's an amazing piano player.
All right.
She's an amazing piano player. So I think that maybe Aretha Franklin was my gateway drug into soul. And do you know who Marvin Gaye is?
Yes. See, these are all names I know. And I know that when the songs play, I will be like, that is a famous...
That is a famous person.
Right. Do you know who the OJs are?
Yes. Love the OJs.
I only know "Forever Mine," I believe, was the name of the song. And that was the song that Andy picked for me to walk up the aisle at our wedding. So
that's adorable.
It's adorable.
Adorable.
Yes, but it's also a very cool song. It's got a nice beat. The kids can sing to it. Anyway.
Now, when my husband and I got married, and you know how you're supposed to choose what your first dance is, right? I'm going to burp again. And I did not mute myself.
Didn't hear it.
I was like, honey, what should we do for our first dance? And he's like, I don't know, Led Zeppelin's "Whole Lot of Love." Like how romantic my husband is, because that's like a rock and roll song,
right? It's
It's not a romantic first dance.
I take it he's a big Lord of the Rings fan, your husband. So
he actually is.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's that crossover with the Led Zeppelin and Lord of the Rings. Sure.
It's true. Yeah. Because they mentioned Mordor in one of their songs, right?
I am told that I would probably like Led Zeppelin, and I probably already like Led Zeppelin.
But I don't know it because
they are big sort of sci-fi fantasy guys. So
Yeah. Okay. So where was I? Okay. So Aretha Franklin. Oh, Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye. So a lot of these people are Motown.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Aretha is not. Aretha wasn't on Atlantic Records. She was not Motown. No. Even though I think she might be from Detroit.
I don't know.
But we'll have to watch the biopic, won't we, Jackie?
Right. Or the documentary, which I heard is better than that biopic, even though the woman who plays Aretha Franklin does all the singing and is an amazing singer.
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson. Yes.
Gotta love her. I do love her. And I think that if anybody could do Aretha, she could. But unfortunately, no one can do Aretha because no one can sing like her. No one can make her choices because you've got some of these singers like, oh, I know that you had somebody on who talked about Mariah Carey, who's a talent. Don't get me wrong. But Mariah Carey and Whitney both had those amazing pipes, mm-hmm. but they never knew when to rein it in my opinion. Humble opinion.
You enjoy Aretha Franklin more than Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, even though you enjoy Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. Is that what I'm hearing?
Because I think Aretha
had nuance.
Yes. There's a reason she was called the Queen of Soul.
Fair enough.
There's a
and
reason
she is from Detroit, by the way.
Thank you. God, you're quick.
I should name the phone because that's my personal assistant. Tiberius. I used to, back about 10, 12 years ago, Tiberius Drakis, our iguana, was our PA. Ooh, Gordy. Gordy could be our new PA. Gordy's my tiny dog. Anyway.
Your tiny dog that gets you walking. Because you want to take 10, 15-minute walks a day.
Three of them. Yeah, I totally just want to take 3 15-minute walks a day. You know more about me because of Losing It podcast than anything.
I know you so well. We're best friends. You didn't know that, but we're best friends now.
And here we are. So Aretha Franklin gets you into it.
Aretha Franklin gets me into it. And also Marvin Gaye gets me into it because Marvin Gaye was a genius. Mm-hmm. And Aretha Franklin was a genius. Mm-hmm. She was a vocal genius and also arranged all her songs, wrote some of her songs, could play the piano like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And no one ever sang like her before, and no one will ever sing like her again because of her incredible taste of her choices about how she sang. Right?
Okay.
That's my opinion. I'm dorking out.
You get to dork out. This is your hour. Okay. Make it so.
Good. Okay. So then we've got Marvin Gaye, who was a Motown guy and one of the early Motown guys. And the way I met Marvin, metaphorically speaking,
I was going to say,
although I saw him in concert, but we'll get to that later. It was through an album that he had, a duet album he had with Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
Okay.
And that I think is 1960s. And one of their big hits was You're All I Need to Get By. You're all I need to get by. Do you remember? Is it hitting me?
But and I've never heard of Tyrell. I've never heard of Tammy.
Marvin Gaye and Tammy, and I did you Tammy Terrell,
yeah,
right?
Terrell.
Tammy, I don't know. Anyway, she died tragically, and I think they were a couple, but I could be getting that wrong. Sure. But that duets album was fantastic, and kind of before duets were a thing. Duets weren't really a thing, and that was Motown. And then Marvin Gaye went on to write an album that was a concept album called What's Going On, which is arguably one of the top five best albums of the 20th century. It came out in late 60s when the Vietnam War was happening. It's all about What's Going On is one of the tracks on it. Mercy, Mercy Me is another track on it where he talks about the environment. Mercy, Mercy Me, things ain't what they used to be.
I've heard that one.
What about this overcrowdedness? How much more can we put up with, or something? I fucked up the lyrics, but the point is he did a concept album, I think before Stevie Wonder. And if you read up on What's Going On, all these music critics will talk about what a brilliant album it is.
Okay.
And he wrote it, and he, I think, and I could be wrong, played all the instruments on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like the guy was a genius, and, I will definitely give you one or two tracks off of that one.
Okay.
And So we've got Aretha, we've got Marvin, and that brings us kind of to Diana Ross.
Oh, I thought okay. She did disco. Am I getting ahead of myself?
Well, Diana Ross was, do you know the girl group that she was in before she was Diana Ross?
I do.
I know.
The Supremes. Go, the Supremes.
Jackie Kayshon, you get to go on to the bonus round.
Exactly.
Yes, you did it. See? You know some shit.
I've retained some things. Yes. It's not all just Harry Chapin albums. Let's hear it.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, I have new earbuds, wireless earbuds from Raycon. And I have to tell you that the world is weird. We know that. And I am back out in it. And I don't know how you're adjusting to it. But what I like to do is I like to put some earbuds on and listen to some kind of inspirational rock tunes. I'm doing a nice mixture. You know, people do musical episodes of the Dork Forest and I get 8 songs. 8 Indigo songs, Indigo Girl songs, 8 Stevie Wonder songs, and 8 R&B songs, which will come from this very episode, quite honestly. Because sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up, and sometimes you need some calm, encouraging music. You know, there's a Frank Turner song on my mix. There's Sarah Bareilles, if I'm saying her name right. That song, Brave, that's kind of encouraging. I like older stuff. I like newer stuff. I like that song from Deadpool. It's interesting that they would have me talk about the music I'm listening to, but I will say that these earbuds are outstanding. Raycons are the best way to listen. They're tiny. They don't stick out of your head. They have gel tips that are super comfortable. They have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want when you want for a really long time. I was stuck at an airport, long time. And the charger is also the same charger as my Switch. So when I couldn't find the charger for this, I eventually found it, but I could charge it with the Switch charger. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. So give them a try. You'll see what I mean. If you need wireless earbuds, give Raycon a try. So if you go... create your own soundtrack, essentially, obviously, with Raycon. Right now, the Dork Forest listeners, you can have 15% off the Raycon order at buyraycon.com/dork. It's buyraycon, buyraycon.com/dork, and save 15% on Raycons. The link will be in the notes, and buyraycon.com/dork. And now, let's get back to the show.
So Diana Ross was in the Supremes.
Right.
Diana Ross was the lead singer of the Supremes. Many, many people have said that Dreamgirls is sort of a takeoff on what happened in the Supremes.
Okay.
Where the pretty skinny one got all the attention, but the one who could sing the best, who might have not been so skinny, did not. Now, there was some bad blood between Diana Ross and... God, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. Mary Wilson. And Mary Wilson actually left the Supremes. But we don't need to get into that minutia. So the point is, Diana Ross, discovered by Berry Gordy, and then after having, like, I don't know, 10 number one hits with the Supremes and a huge career, she left the Supremes. She went solo. And it was, it was a big deal that she left because they were so popular and there was bad blood between her and Mary Wilson. And so fast forward, I'm not fast forwarding. So my brother is a huge Diana Ross fan.
Okay.
I'm a big Diana Ross fan, but he is a huge Diana Ross fan.
Okay.
So he gets tickets to see Diana Ross at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. I'm 16.
Right.
He's 18. We get in a car that same shitty car and drive from Las Vegas to from California, from, you know, our little house,
Los Angeles,
to in Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
4 hours, 3 or 4 hours, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Through the Mojave Desert.
Right. In the 12th century when we were children, with a screwdriver.
Exactly. Yes. We're children. I have borrowed an outfit from a neighbor that we have who, and it's this great outfit that's like, it's like, looks like it's white satin and it's got like a halter top and these high-waisted elephant pants and like a scarf. And I mean, I feel like I'm the coolest thing on the planet. And my brother has like, my brother's gay. And made some very bold fashion choices in high school because he was because he was not only what did he have a great fashion sense, he was incredibly brave. So he went to high school and basically said, yeah, guys, I'm gay. What of it? In like 1972.
That is incredibly. Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Wow. That is that is terrifying and an amazing of him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm there in my, so we drive to Vegas. We check in at Caesar's. We're in Caesar's Palace.
Pew, 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 pew. Out of the Tropicana right now. So Caesar's is right around here,
Is that, are you right now?
I'm in the Tropicana, right, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, just, you know, tip your hat to Caesar's for me.
I will.
Because we didn't just go there once. We went there a bunch of times.
To see whoever, right?
To see Diana. Well, we saw Diana there. We actually saw, I think we saw Gladys Knight and the Pips. Another R&B Motown group.
Right.
Okay. Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yep.
That's Gladys Knight and the Pips. Another woman with an amazing voice. So there, my brother and I are, Cardi and I. And we get all dressed up. Cardi's got some high-waisted, you know, bell-bottoms on and some platform shoes. And I've got my little satin outfit on. Mm-hmm. And we go to, and as you know, when you go to the fancy big place, the big venue at Caesar's Palace, you don't have assigned seats. You just...
I didn't know that. It's like the Who stampede seats?
No, it's tables. Like tables coming out perpendicular from the stage.
Oh, so like, you're like a Sunday like a Lutheran pancake?
Yes, like a Sunday Lutheran pancake yes,
meal.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. But Diana Ross is going to be in the front of the room.
Diana Ross, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. And we get there and the maitre d', whoever's seating us,
sure.
My brother says to him, we just got married. We're on our honeymoon. He says, clutching my arm. She's our favorite. He hands the guy $20. He walks us up. We're next to the stage.
Your brother has got the cojones of Gibraltar.
He does. He has the cojones.
He's 18 at this point.
He's 18.
Just like, pardon me.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's me and my lovely wife here.
Me and my lovely wife. Also my sister. Anyway, I didn't know Torrance was quite so advanced.
Or
regressive.
Or not.
Regressive, I think. Anyway.
So we're sitting next to the stage. Like literally, Cardi's here. The stage is right next to him. I'm right next to him. Diana Ross comes out. She sings.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's already done Lady Sings the Blues. The story of what famous singer, Jackie?
This Aretha Franklin. I don't know.
Yeah. Aretha was alive, but she didn't want to do it. She didn't want it. Let's let Diana
do it. I was just guessing.
Billie Holiday.
Oh, Billie Holiday.
I
know Billie Holiday's work only because I took a class. There you go. It was a class on jazz. And anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So Diana Ross has done Lady Sings the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes out. She sings a bunch of her Supremes hits. She sings stuff from Lady Sings the Blues. She has five costume changes. You know, and she's like, she comes out in one outfit and then another. And she's got dancing. She's got dancers.
Okay.
And her dancers? Yeah. Are all from a 1970s show that was like, oh God, what's the famous one with Dick Clark? Like American Bandstand, but almost only R&B artists. Do you remember?
Well, I was going to guess Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm wrong.
TV show.
American like Bandstand.
Yeah, the funky black version of it was...
Soul Train.
Yes! Oh my God, Jackie, you are doing so well. You're going under the bonus round. Oh my God, yes. Yes, exactly. So all the dancers that Diana has are from Soul Train.
Okay.
A show, by the way, that my brother and I watch every Saturday or Sunday. I don't remember when it was.
Sure.
On, right.
Cause it had a lot of soul and R&B.
And we're trying to do the moves, you know, we're
right.
Like, and, you know,
you're okay.
Well.
You're all right.
Doing it pretty well.
It can happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wait till you see what happens. Okay. So at the time, Diana Ross's big hit was Love Hangover, mm-hmm. which is why you said disco, because that's kind of a disco hit. And it's a long hit. Like the EP of it is probably 7 minutes long.
Wow.
Right. So Diana's singing and it starts out slow. I don't want a cure for this. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I got a love hangover kind of a thing. Starts out slow mm-hmm. and then it speeds up. Mm-hmm. Bump, 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 bada, bump, bump. And then Diana Ross, what does she do? She leaves the stage. She leaves the stage and her dancers are out there dancing.
Right, right.
Why does she leave? Because she has to make another costume change.
That's right. That's why you hire dancers. You're like, don't look behind the curtain. I have to go over here and put on a different shimmery outfit.
Right. A different shimmery outfit.
Yep.
And of course, this outfit, I think, is pants so she can dance a little better.
Sure.
She comes back out and she's dancing. And my brother and I are sitting there. You know, of course, we're like dancing in our seats. Mm-hmm. And she's dancing and the dance backup dancers are dancing. And she says to my brother, and she says, come on up on stage and dance with me.
Oh my God. Did your brother faint? Did he almost lose his?
My brother just said, yep. He stood up, one foot on the chair, another foot on the table, standing on the stage, dancing with Diana Ross.
Oh my God. The time of his life.
But wait. It gets better. And I'm like, dun, 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 dun. And she like, you come on up on stage too.
I know you two just got married.
How's the honeymoon? Have you consummated yet?
Yikes. Go.
Did you save yourself? Because I think you're a little young.
Oh my gosh.
So I am 16 years old. In my fabulous fake satin outfit with the mm-hmm. elephant pants and my brother in his platforms, dancing on stage at Caesar's Palace with Diana Ross. I could die now and it would be okay.
It's yeah, that's leaving on a win for sure.
And then they died and it was okay. So, I mean, And here's the thing. So we do it and the song ends and Diana came over and gave us each a kiss. I had her lipstick on my cheek. Yes. Yeah. It was mm-hmm. pretty special. Mm-hmm. And how do you top that? How do you top that?
I don't know. Did you get to meet Jesus? What happened? what was there? I don't know.
It's so funny because few people know what a big R&B fan Jesus is.
He was, grassroots.
Grassroots. Loved it.
He was the Barry Gordy of his day.
Well, you know, the apostles, they could put down some beats, man. They could mm-hmm. get funky. Yeah. You can't really tell in the Last Supper photo, but they all have instruments underneath the table.
You know, a weird story that I think I've told before on the Dork Forest, which is that my stepmother once, get this, accidentally heard Malcolm X speak because she was invited to go to a dance, and it was a Catholic dance. But it was on, you know, Milwaukee's enormously segregated middle 60s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And it was a dance that was a mixed dance with black people and white people. And she couldn't tell her parents, but she really wanted to go to this dance. And it was sponsored by a black Catholic church that wanted to get the kids to hear Malcolm X. So they had a dance that also had a speech that but was going to have great music. So her and a couple of friends went, and she was like, it was one of the weirdest, most amazing things in my life that I got to hear Malcolm X speak. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is a great story.
Yeah.
Cool. And smart. Smart.
Oh, so that's how you sell it.
Yep. Let's bring some music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kids will come if there's a dance, and boys and girls will both be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the pinnacle of the Diana Ross dorkdom. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop there, because we went back more than once. We danced on stage with her more than once. My brother has probably danced on stage with her 5 times, because every time she sees him in the audience, she calls him up.
She recognizes him.
She recognizes him.
She's like, that's that kid. That's that guy.
That's that guy. That's that guy with the young wife. And there's that middle-aged man.
There's it's a flipbook of the aging process.
Right. And fortunately, Diana does age as well. But she still looks damn good. So I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. So that's the Diana Ross story is.
Kind of the greatest story. That's such a great story. Yeah.
Dancing on stage with Diana Ross. Like, how do you beat that? Right. In our lives, the sun rises and sets with her at that point in our lives.
Right.
She was everything to us. Well, another sort of 70s R&B soul funk thing is we'll go back to Marvin Gaye. And seeing him live, it's going to pale in comparison. But after what's going on, which was his Grammy winning album, and it was genius. Was brilliant, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. He came out with Let's Get It On.
Oh,
and yes. Let's Get It On is all about, guess what, Jackie?
Getting it on? Is it about tab A, slot A, doing it?
Yes. It's about following those IKEA instructions and just...
Hey, nice Allen wrench. Anyway, so ridiculous.
Is that an Allen wrench in your pocket? Are you just glad to see me?
Are you just looking for the meatballs? You're just looking for the Swedish meatballs department. Anyway, so...
So Let's Get It On was also a really good album and very much a dance album. And, you know, Let's Get It On is about getting it on. And a concept album. Everything about it is about having sex.
It's not necessarily the highest concept.
Exactly.
It's a common denominator concept. So... But very popular, I assume.
Well, it was very popular. He had like 5 or 6 hits out of it. And his Let's Get It On tour, mm-hmm. I saw him at the Forum in Los Angeles. Sure. And was maybe 20 feet away from him. And I will say that he, at that moment time in his life, was probably one of the sexiest men on the planet and was singing Let's Get It On. Hey, baby, let's get it on.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Have to worry. Let's get it on. So
yeah, and so you were sitting there in your own, just marinating in the Peter tingles that were coming at you.
So many tingles, and but let's circle back to Richard Pryor, shall we?
Oh, let us.
Now, he's not an R&B star,
or
no, he's not
funkadelic
star, but arguably one of the best comics of all time.
Easily.
I mean, brilliant.
We never listened to stand up when I was a kid, or music, sadly. there was some albums, but every time my father would walk in, he'd like turn that off.
But you were reading Spencer for Hire.
I was busy reading novels. I had Dan Frontier novels to finish. And so Louis L'Amour. And so
you didn't have stand-up albums.
Right. So I listened to Richard Pryor probably just 10 years ago. And it was still, I mean, it was amazing how much we all learned from him, like how hard he was hacked. Right.
Yeah.
So everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the learning curve and the outright theft were both incredibly flattering, I'm sure, to him.
Yeah.
But not so much.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I know. And so the reason I go back to Richard Pryor is because he plays Piano Man in Lady Sings the Blues. And if you've never seen Lady Sings the Blues, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. It's a really good movie. Diana Ross is phenomenal in it. She was nominated for an Oscar. Richard Pryor is mind-blowing in it. He's so good. He's not playing a comic character, and he's unbelievable.
It's a biopic, obviously, right?
It's a biopic about Billie Holiday, who was a famous jazz singer who had a pretty tragic life.
Right, right.
And
Diana Ross plays her.
Diana Ross plays her. Billie Dee Williams.
Billie Dee Williams. I know who Billie Dee Williams is. He's Lando Calrissian.
From Star Trek. Thank you.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
No, no. I've been there. I've misspoke.
Yeah.
They're both wonderful.
I know that you're into Star Trek. I didn't know if Star Wars was part of your dorkdom. Is it?
Sure. All of it. I mean, the thing is the great thing about the Dork Forest is I'm now invested in Diana Ross and Marvin Gaye. So I'm on board.
If you want to see Lando Calrissian at his most unbelievably sexy and wearing like all these great suits from the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
You go watch Lady Sings the Blues and you will be marinating, young lady. You will be.
I will be experiencing the Peter Tingles. Let's do it. All right.
Okay. So we got Billie Dee Williams. We've got Diana Ross. And we've got Richard Pryor playing Piano Man. Right around this time, my brother, if I didn't have my brother, none of this would have happened. I just would have been home, like, you know, listening to the Monkees or something. Do you know what I mean?
Which I also enjoyed as a child.
I did too.
But it's a different level. It's genuinely a different level. It's like, it's enjoying, because this stuff is art. It's genuinely, it's artistic. Yeah.
And they're benchmarks for times in music and in soul and in funk and in R&B that are phenomenal. So my brother says, hey, after school one day, hey, tonight's the NAACP Image Awards. They're having them. And I don't think it was the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, because it was somewhere where it was like how the Golden Globes are, like tables everywhere.
Yeah. The circle tables.
And he's like, those circle tables. He's like, let's go. Now, this was years before they were.
Is
they
he
were,
your only brother?
I have two brothers.
You have two
My
brothers.
My other brother is Dick, and he is the oldest. I'm the baby. Cardi's in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And Dick is Dick, you know, introduced me to Led Zeppelin, to tell you the truth, and right.
But he wasn't dragging you off to venues.
He was not he was very busy having his own tingles and having a lot of sex with beautiful. He was busy.
Right.
In another arena.
Right.
Cardi and I were like, yes,
he's like, I need you to be my beard. And
So we get in the car, same car.
Sure.
Go down to a place. I don't remember where it was.
This car has actually survived a great number of
It survived
trips.
So much.
Yes.
So much. But what I look back on it, Jackie, and I'm like, how did my brother know that the NAACP Image Awards were happening that night? How did he know that? There was no internet. They weren't talking about that on the news. How did he know?
I'm going to suggest zines, hand-printed zines.
Because there was a magazine.
Yeah, there were underground music fans who just sort of word of mouth, and they would literally Xerox stuff and hand them out. Mm. And I bet you he was, you know, because he was probably in sort of had a lot of friends in the gay community who were also underground, and that art community can overlap all that stuff.
Maybe I'm going to have to ask
you
him
should
because
ask
all
him.
I know, all I know is he's like, do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah,
right.
We go.
It's
right?
No Amber Alert. It's not just showing up on his rotary phone.
Exactly. Right. So we go there before we even sit down. we see Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 walking in.
How did you get in? He had tickets?
You just got a ticket. You just went. It was, I mean, I don't know. It's like my brother was magical. I don't know. All
that
I know,
is amazing.
Right. And I'm wearing some mini skirt and platform shoes. And I look, you know, I'm 15 or 16. I probably look 13.
Right.
Cardi's probably got hair down to here, but he's got a fabulous outfit on. You know, he looks great.
Sure.
So before we even sit down, the Jackson 5 walked past. And I'm like, hi, Michael. And this was when Michael was adorable.
Yeah. And he was a boy. He was probably
a boy.
Yes. He was just a little man child being with his afro and his adorableness, because he was 11. Right.
Yeah. I think he was actually 2 years younger than me. So if I was 15, he was probably 13.
Oh, wow.
And so there's the Jackson 5. And then I look over and there's Cher. Cher's there.
Cher is there. You know, she's half Armenian. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm. I did know that. I did know that.
Turns out it's a big deal if you're Armenian to know that Cher's half Armenian. Anyway.
And I see the resemblance.
Look deeply into my eyes. I'll sell you a rug. So we used to make a joke about how she's saying half breed and she was talking about being half Armenian. She was actually talking about being half Native American.
I know.
So.
Okay. So then while we're there, who else do we see? Aretha Franklin. But now Aretha Franklin is sitting at a table. So we get to go up to her and tell her how much we like her.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And who else do we see? Richard Pryor sitting at a table, because he's been nominated for Lady Sings the Blues for playing Piano Man.
What?
And who else is there? Oh, yeah. Diana Ross.
What?
And Gladys Knight and the Pips and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
The
who's who of R&B, of 70s soul and funk. Quincy Jones was there.
Was Sly and the Family Stone there?
You know, Sly wasn't there. And it's funny because Sly, it's almost like he was in his own little groove. What I mean?
The reason I think of him is because I own the Dick Cavett DVDs. And there's a couple of great episodes with Sly, who on one of them, I don't know if this is both of them, but one of them, he is so clearly had some
very
marijuana.
High.
Yes. Yeah. He's had the Mary Jane. but he's sitting there like with like some weird right wing Nazi dude. And he's just sitting there kind of leaned back and he's like, and he just laughs at the guy. Like beat after beat on this Dick Cavett episode. And it is awesome to perceive.
And Sly and the Family Stone, one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
One of my favorites as well. They were brilliant. He was brilliant. And how about that voice, Jackie? Just his speaking voice was so gorgeous.
It's like a stick of butter. Right? It's like eating a stick of butter listening
like
to that guy.
Eating a stick of butter.
Into your ear. Yeah. Into your ear, yeah. A stick of butter.
Yeah. I will definitely put a couple of Sly and the Family Stone, at least one Sly and the Family Stone song on there.
You are going to be disappointed to know that playlist. We have 10 more minutes.
That's okay. That's
good.
Okay. We're fine.
Oh, good.
Let me just think if I've missed anything really important.
Probably, but here's the thing is there's only so many, like you could pick five of your favorites.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, Marvin Gaye. Did you ever do a music thing. I once opened stand-up wise for a singer. I don't know what kind of music it was because I wasn't able to stay for the show because I had another show, but they were her opener dropped out, which could you go do 20 minutes in front of the richest. It was like, you ever see White Man's Burden with John Travolta?
Never saw that.
It's a very beautiful movie that has one message that I needed to learn. And so when I saw it, it was essentially John Travolta is a white man in a black man's world. And so it is essentially you just see institutionalized racism.
Right.
It's just one image of institutionalized racism after another where you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. And so
I
opened for Anita Baker.
Oh,
What kind of music is that?
That's R&B and okay. with a really heavy jazz feel to it.
Okay.
Love Anita Baker. And I wonder what happened to her. She had that one really great album.
Probably still working. Like
the, yeah. But I'm a big fan. She's on one of my, she's on my cool down playlist for when, after I work out.
Oh, after you work out. Good for you.
I don't know why have I attempted to sing at any point? Because I'm only talking about the amazing
singers in the world.
So
in
then
history.
I'm going to try to be Anita Baker. No, don't think so, Nancy. Yeah.
You guys all have Spotify. Knock yourselves out. And there'll be a nice playlist of just some sample stuff. So that'll be great.
Yes. Yes. I will definitely send you a playlist. So I guess here's the long and short of it. The long and short of it is, one of the things that I'm always grateful, I do gratitude lists. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm feeling really down, I do 100 things on a gratitude list.
What?
Yeah. And here's the thing, Jackie. It's really easy. Be surprised how easy it is.
Well, if you start with some basics, right?
Yeah. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful
above
for this
ground.
Chair. I'm,
yeah.
Thank you. Above ground, right? Mm-hmm. So, and what I'm all often really grateful for is, wow, Nelsie, I just had a mini stroke there. Let me just say that again. What I'm often really grateful for is music. And I'm grateful for Spotify, because you can go to Spotify and you can go, oh, wow, remember that Marvin Gaye song that I loved? Or remember that fill in the blank song, that Gladys Knight and the Pips song? Then you look for it and you can listen to it. When I look at my playlists now, I have so much 70s R&B, some 80s R&B. I mean, I have very broad tastes. You know, I do love the Monkees. Mm-hmm. I do love Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. I loved the Carpenters. I grew up listening to the Carpenters, saw the Carpenters live. Yes, I did.
Sure.
So I had very broad taste in music, but music.
I saw the Statler Brothers once. That was an accident, and it wasn't bad. It was all right.
Really? Yeah. Tell me.
It was nice.
And what's their hit?
They sang the national anthem. That was the first thing they sang to open their concert.
Oh, okay.
That was uncomfortable. as I looked at my one of my best friends, TJ Ford, who insisted I come. Yeah. I looked at her and I was like, all right, I guess we're standing for the national anthem.
Wow.
So there you go. And then they sang some cowboy songs.
Some cowboy songs.
Yeah.
So you didn't recognize any of the cowboy songs.
No, well, she used to play the album a lot, a couple of albums. So I recognized them, but I couldn't tell you what they were right now.
Yeah.
It's I saw the Statler Brothers. I saw, I saw Billy Joel. I saw Tori Amos on her just after she was raped tour, where she sang about that. That was super sad and very powerful.
Is that what she called the tour?
She
just after I was raped tour?
Yeah, she's like, hey, guess who was raped? And I'm going to sing about it. And you assholes are going to buy this album, is what she should have called that tour. And because it was incredibly powerful. I saw her in Minneapolis in a very small venue, and she sang about it. And I didn't know who she was before I went, because I've seen several concerts because someone has an extra ticket and the person who cared has fallen through. And so they're like, hey, would Jackie go? And I'm like, what are the White Stripes? And so
then you saw the White Stripes?
I did.
My
friend Joe Wilson, who used to co-host the show back in the 2006, 2007 era. He had an extra ticket.
That's fair. And, talk about sort of off the mainstream, White Stripes, right?
Sure.
It's like it's two people and a drum and a guitar or something, isn't it? Like very bare bones.
Sure. I was at the second Lollapalooza accidentally.
Jackie, you got to lead with this stuff, because you're really, you've got some cool cred going on.
Sure. I saw Jane's Addiction. I didn't get it. I couldn't, because here's what I liked about the White Stripes is that Joe gave me their album. And so I listened to it, and they only had the one album at the time. I think it was the White Stripes.
So you were up to speed.
Right. I could sing along with all of it. And so I enjoyed that concert a great deal.
I love that.
I love when you can sing along.
That's great. That's great. So I guess all I have to say is that I love music and that my connection with my brother, which is very still very strong today, and with both my brothers, Cardi and I are a little closer for a variety
for
of reasons.
Obvious reasons. He's yes. dragging you off to venues.
He's dragging me to Vegas and getting me on stage with Diana Ross.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, he and I, he and I were actually on the Gong Show. No, that's not quite right. We were bumped from the Gong Show.
Okay.
Because,
sure, but, you were so close.
We went to the taping.
Sure.
We went to the taping.
Sure.
And we danced a jazz dance, jazz hands, and to guess what? Guess what, Jackie?
What?
An R&B song.
An R&B song. Which one? Do you remember?
It was Can You Feel a Brand New Day from The Wiz.
Ah, The Wiz.
The Wiz, which of course we saw on Broadway, but also saw the movie version with Diana Ross. Not very good.
But
not very good.
The soundtrack, amazing.
Amazing.
That's
amazing.
What I hear.
And
that's
her version. Her version of Home is amazing.
There you go.
Amazing. So long. The long and short of it is, music is amazing, and it got me through so much, like so many people on the planet.
Yeah.
And if you guys have not listen to any of these people that I'm speaking about, go immediately now and listen.
I have a 32 song set list that a playlist that I listen to while I stand in line at airports. And it has not been updated really for about a year because I just added some stuff when we were in lockdown. But I think that I should change it up, create a new one. Made of these last 6 months, there's been so many music episodes and people have sent me eight songs and many of them.
Are,
Stevie Wonder, it turns out, I know you know this. He's great.
wow. Is he?
Yeah. Huh. I don't mean to blow some minds here, but. Yeah.
But when I can't remember who's the name of the woman who did the Stevie episode. I can't remember.
It was Kate Gaffney, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Kate. Yeah. So the funny thing is Kate was like, she mentioned all her faves and As was one of them. And As is on many of my playlists, such a gorgeous song, and Songs in the Key of Life is brilliant. And Stevie Wonder is brilliant. Stevie Wonder was also at the NAACP Image Awards. When every top, you know, African American artist.
Because it was the NAACP Awards.
EP
and it
Image
was awesome.
Awards, yeah.
That's so great.
And people, nobody said, what are these two small white
tiny,
people doing here?
Tiny white people.
Why are they here?
With their crummy car. What's happening?
Why are they talking to us?
Right. They had a horn in on everything, Whitey Mongoose. And fine.
Oh my God.
Fine.
Why did you?
They're just children.
Yeah.
Let them
I
be.
I think we were, we were young enough that we maybe were just kind of cute.
Yes.
I mean, I think we were probably pretty annoying, but I think we were cute enough.
Right.
You know?
And
yeah.
And then painless because it didn't go on too long.
No.
Nelsie Spencer, let me just say that this has been an amazing hour. People should go to nelsiespencer.com. You can listen to her podcast called Losing It. At Losing It Pod is on all the socials. And What If Nothing's Wrong, WINW Pod, is her other podcast. And all check it out because it's super fun. You were fascinating. I had a lovely time. Great
Thank you.
Stories.
I had a lovely time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?